This is a place where real masculinity is painfully learned, deeply celebrated, and aggressively deployed. We are committed to training you how to fight the war against all that is fighting you. This is the Dangerous Man Podcast.
Welcome back, gentlemen. Thank you for joining the Dangerous Man Podcast. We are here with another episode. I am here with Rory Lawrence.
Let's go.
What's up to the men out there?
What's up, guys?
This episode is titled Stop Being Nice.
Yes.
Just be a complete asshole. Go out there and wreak havoc. Be a dangerous man. No.
That's a I love how you did that. That was perfect. Dude, don't be reckless. Be dangerous. Don't be reckless. Yeah.
But
stop being nice. Because what? We've all heard the term, right? Nice guys finish what?
Last. Dead last.
I love how you got it. Dead last. And you know what?
If you ain't first, you're last.
If you ain't first, second place is the first loser.
Yeah. Ricky Bobby. I love that movie.
Oh, my gosh. So good. All right. Well, welcome back, men. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We're going to get into why we have this desire as men. Some of us, not all of us, some of us. Actually, I would argue probably a large majority of being nice, because nice is accepting and loving and it's easy and there's no turmoil and I'm just nice.
Because that's like you meet someone for the, like, if you're in family setting,
we're just gonna get it.
You meet someone for the first time. It's like the boyfriend of, you know, it's your second cousin,
bro,
whatever. Just Ooh. Random guy, whatever, comes in the family.
Yes.
And everyone, what did you think of him?
He was nice.
That's the first thing people say.
Yeah, but then you ask real guys in the group, and they're, what did you think of him? He's a loser. Get away from him. Dump him. Kill him. Wait, oh, no, not that one. But dump him. Dump him, then kill him. Or kill him and dump him. I don't care. Right?
And so I hear that too much. Well, that's nice.
That's nice.
It's like always with a sigh.
He's nice. Almost like it's relieving.
Yeah.
Because being nice causes no waves.
Yeah.
No friction. Confrontation.
Gets you nowhere.
And gets you freaking nowhere. So let me ask you this, gentlemen who are listening right now. Nice guys, you know who you are. You know who you are because everybody tells you you're the nice guy. You're so nice. Yeah, that's what gets said to guys in the friend zone. You're so nice. You're just my friend. I don't want to be nice. Men, I'm sorry, but I'm just going to say it like this. Listen, nice is a lie. Nice is something that you weren't meant to be. And I know some of you might be arguing with me right now out loud on your car radio, whatever, and be like, are you kidding me? No, we are supposed to be nice. No. There was never a commandment by God to tell us to be nice. But yet, our world is filled with very nice people that don't accomplish anything. Our world is filled with very nice people. And you know what happens to nice people, Matt? Where do they end up? As a doormat. That's no, like, pun on your name or anything like that. Just, you know.
Sorry. You're definitely not nice.
You jerk. Nice guys finish last. That is a stereotype, right? It's actually a bunch of songs, too. I've heard a ton of different songs about that. Mm-hmm. Nice guys finish last because they're too freaking nice. They let everybody walk all over them. And so let me say this. Nice guys who are listening, okay? Do you enjoy... You looked around. Are the nice guys listening? Nice guys, do you enjoy being walked over? Do you enjoy having your boundaries infiltrated, penetrated, and over... Wow, that was very brutal. Infiltrated, penetrated, and walked all over. Do you enjoy those things being taken from you? I don't think you do. Mm-hmm. But you know what? You're being nice. Mm-hmm. And nice people get nice things. No, nice people get used by people who know how to establish boundaries. Nice people get used by people who take advantage of others.
How many times has someone asked you to borrow your truck?
Oh, God.
Guys with trucks.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
It's literally a thing. Because they're so nice and they have a pickup truck. Just ask them. No, my truck is
out. Get your own truck.
Get your own truck. That's what I started saying to people. Yeah. Hey, can I borrow your pickup truck? Why didn't you buy a truck? Idiot, you bought a car. You made a bad decision. Buy a truck.
And it's always in a pinch.
Oh, it's always like, hey, can I borrow your truck
when
in
you
four
use
and
it?
A half seconds?
When do you want to use it? I was hoping I'd have the keys already.
I was hoping you were at my doorstep right now so I could do this. It's like, no. No, and listen, I don't, when we're talking about this, guys, this is what we're talking about. Being kind. Mm. Now, there's something to that because we talk about the fruits of the spirit.
Sure.
Okay? Being kind is saying, I have a truck, you don't have a truck, I'm going to let you borrow my truck. I love you, it's good. Being nice says, I'm going to let everybody borrow my truck at any time of the day, at any time of the night, on any time. Nice is, I have no boundaries. Mm-hmm. And this is why nice guys suck. This is why nice guys always get the shaft. Because nice guys will give so much that it costs them more than they gave. Shoot.
Yeah.
It cost you more than you gave. Because you were unwilling to have a backbone to set boundaries and you just let people walk all over you. Excuse me. Sorry. I'm punching the table.
And if you're whatever the guy that lends it out to everybody and you're like, oh, crap, I probably shouldn't be doing that.
You're a lending whore.
There's just, you can start saying no or say, yeah, you can use it, but fill it up. Fill it up before you get back.
Let me ask you something. You ever lent your vehicle to someone and they borrowed it and they brought it back without more gas in it?
No, because I have a shitty Honda Accord. No one wants to use it. But
so,
yeah, no.
I know so somebody
about.
Was telling me the other day, actually, I think it was one of my brothers. He lent the vehicle out. Okay. Lent the vehicle out. Younger guy, okay, and I'm gonna beat up on him because that's my nephew, so whatever. So he led the vehicle out. He said, yeah, you can borrow it. He'd take it. He took it, brings it back, less gas than it had in it. So you know what I did? I said, are you freaking kidding? No, that's unacceptable. When somebody lends you something, like I'm of the school of thought that if somebody lends you something, let's say a vehicle, they let you borrow it for a day, a week, whatever. Sure. When you bring that back, you bring it back with a full tank of freaking gas. If you're that loser, that idiot, that a-hole that brings it back with less gas than you borrowed it from, you didn't have enough money to borrow it. Get out of here. You should have never asked.
Yeah. Or vacuumed or through the car wash.
Yeah. Hey, I brought it back filthy and with empty.
Yeah. Do something.
Yeah. You'll never borrow it again. Oh. But here's the crazy thing. Nice guys, they'll let you borrow it again.
Yep.
So you sign your own death warrant to be walked over. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this, man. What was there ever a time in your life where you were too nice? Too nice. Oh, that sounds like a nice Harley,
cool.
Dude.
Yeah,
that sounds like a good Harley. Yo, what's up?
Yo, can I borrow that?
Yeah. Right. Can I borrow that? Bring it back with half a tank. Was there ever a time in your life where you were too nice that you can kind of think in your head?
Yeah, I still.
Oh, come on.
I still do it at work often.
Oh.
Because I have work in athletics. I have coaches that I have to. So I run all the games and everything. And whenever they're in a pinch, and a lot of them always come to me to figure it out because I can usually figure out whatever they need, and I'll always end up, you know, sure, I'll take care of it. Don't worry about it. I'll come in a little early. Don't worry about it.
That's one thing that you and I have in extreme common is I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Because you're a problem solver.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, keep going. Keep going.
Yeah, and it's just kind of, I mean, I enjoy solving problems to an extent. If I'm overwhelmed or whatever, usually I'll say
too much.
No. But if the simple day-to-day figuring stuff out, that's, you know, that's what keeps men going. That's what keeps you stimulated, always thinking, always, you know, wanting to make things better in your life, in and around you. But yeah, I have no problem saying yes and being nice to people if it's benefit, if it's helping them in a way so they can go do something else. I usually don't have a problem in doing that.
But do you have a problem helping yourself?
Yes.
Matt's like, I hate you right now. Yeah. You jerk.
Because come I'll help other yes. people over myself.
To your own detriment.
Yeah. I think you're very similar to where I would rather break my back over some before somebody else had to break theirs.
I would rather break my back than ride on somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
So let's break down that for a second, because it comes from a servant's mindset.
Mm-hmm.
It comes from a sacrificial mindset. It also comes from somebody who says, I have these gifts and I want to give them. Those kind of people are priceless. Because, and especially if you find them, I'll say this, guys, if you guys, if you're listening right now and you can relate to exactly to the T what we're talking about, you know what we're talking about, you know it's you. Okay, if you're that guy, listen, okay? You have to stop being nice. You have to start setting boundaries. You have to start, and here's the crazy thing, because most of the time we're like, I'm going to set some boundaries, right? Okay, what happens when the first man crosses the boundary, the first woman? What happens the first person that crosses that boundary? What do you do? It's no big deal.
Hmm.
No, that's a damn big deal, because this is my boundary. So when you cross the line, again, here's the crazy thing about boundaries. You can set them all you want, and people do this all the time. Men, we do this all the time. I set these boundaries, and I set them in my head. Did you communicate them?
Yeah.
Did you effectively communicate the boundaries, and typically to the first person that offended them? Because more often than not, when do we set a boundary? We set a boundary when someone has
already violated it.
Mm-hmm. It's after the fact, right?
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, man. When you set it, okay, so after the fact, so they're used to now violating the boundary, then you set the boundary. Then you don't communicate the boundary. How the hell are they going to know the boundary's there?
Until they find out the next time.
Until they
see what else they can get away with. Until
they overstep it again. They have to violate it again. So here's the thing.
So then you have to double back on your boundary on the back end.
Which now you're just being too nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've forgiven all this stuff. And you've let people walk all over you. And you became the doormat. And then, oh, I'm going to set this boundary. Boundaries are worthless unless you're willing to enforce them.
Or have someone else enforce them for you.
I mean, that could happen too. I mean, you know, I'm not gonna lie. That definitely can happen. But boundaries, men, boundaries are worthless unless you're willing to enforce them. I learned this. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I think it's good. Some situations that you're in, just one easy thing for you men out there that maybe are saying yes to too many things. When you go to the store, when you go to the store and they say, "Would you like to round up 98 cents and help the kids in Africa for hunger?
Starving pygmies in New Guinea."
Right? Nice guy is like, oh my gosh. The
yes, store I'll round up $42. Who?
I mean, the money may be going there. It may not be.
The money's probably not going there. Let's be honest. If it came from America, we're stealing it. We're a bunch of a-holes. But anyways.
Those are some small things that you can start saying no.
Yeah.
You want to round like 10 cents to round up at Firehouse Subs to help support the... No, sorry. I need that. Now I need that 10 cents.
Yeah, now you need that 10 sucks. Cents. 10 cents is not even going to cover your inflation.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying. It's the small little details in life where you have little questions in public and that you may get asked randomly or in a conversation with a stranger, you know.
You know what I wonder is so like stuff like that. And listen, we're not telling you don't give to charity. That's not what we're saying. But for the love of God, don't give to charity through McDonald's. That's asinine.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sure. Yeah. It's because all you're doing is increasing their bottom line, even though they're making the donation. It's ridiculous. Yeah. No, you want to give to charity, give to charity. Go find your local church. Go find your local charity and give directly to them. Don't circumvent the dealio. But at the end of the day, it's like I know people like you were saying about that. It's like they'll say yes to that. Then they'll say yes to the next thing and the next thing and the next thing. And then they never say no.
Yeah.
And there is, there's a detrimental downfall to men to just always say yes. Cause if women know you're the yes guy, you will be used 24/7, 24/7. The guys who establish boundaries say no. It's a powerful thing. I know guys, listen, I know guys that actually, you know what? I'm going to text one of the guys right now. I'm going to text him right now. You actually know this other guy. I'm going to text him right now because he.
What are you going to ask him?
Dude, I'm just going to text him and just say, hey, man, keep saying no. Because he says yes all the time
to
everything.
I thought you were about to do a test and see if you can get someone to.
No, I'm not going to
try. I was like, I got my phone out ready. Like, oh, I'm going to text someone. Let's see.
Text him a question and ask him for a favor. And then I'll be like, you better say no. No. he has said multiple times, I always say yes to everything. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and I remember talking to him and I said, well, how does that make you feel? And you know what he said to me? I feel like a shell of a person. I don't do anything for myself. I don't have any time for myself.
Yeah.
I don't develop myself. Yeah. I don't, over and over.
At first it may be fulfilling. Yep. Like, yes, I'm helping people. Yeah. I'm doing good.
Yeah, I'm pleasing everybody around me.
Yep. Then after a while it starts to become a burden because you can't say no, and you can't help yourself. You don't have time for yourself.
And you can't please everybody.
Yeah. You cannot.
So let me share something with you.
Sure.
Early on in life, for the bigger part of my life, I was a pretty big time people pleaser for a long time. And I'll tell you what it got me. All right. It got me a lot of frustration. It even got me some hate. It got me some really moments of despising people, being a people pleaser. It got me to the point where I started to be like, wow, I genuinely dislike everybody across the board. Like, I'm not picking and choosing now. Yeah. You all suck because all you're doing, people are takers. Naturally, most of us are takers. But then there's this unnatural group of people, and they're typically men. And they just give. And they give, and they give, and they give. And they never stop giving. They never stop sacrificing. They never stop saying yes. They just keep serving and serving and serving. And they serve themselves into a 6-foot cell in the dirt. Because they never took time to heal or to grow or to give to themselves. They gave everything they had, and then once they gave it all, they had nothing left. And men, we're not. Listen, we are hardwired to be givers, as in providers. But if you say yes to, and I think we've talked about this a little bit before, if you say yes to so-and-so, you're saying no to your family. Mm-hmm. If you say yes to the buddy that asks you to help you do this on the weekend, you're saying no to, you know, your parents and or your family or your children. Whenever you say yes to something, you're saying no to another thing. And this is what yes guys don't understand. This is what people pleasers don't understand. And this is what took me a long time to understand. Mm-hmm. If I say yes to everybody, then when it comes time for me, I have to say no to me. Mm-hmm. When it comes time for my family, I have to say no to them. If I always say yes, when it comes time for the really crucial, important things, I have to say no to them because I already committed myself to something else. And let's be real.
Yep.
It wasn't really something that mattered.
Yeah.
It really wasn't.
I'll share something with you too that I had to talk to Becca about, my wife. And she,
Becca, if you're listening, we love you.
Yeah. And I'm sharing
and
this
don't be
because
mad at Matt.
I'm sharing this because you got better after we talked about this.
Oh, let's go. Let's go. I can't wait to hear this.
It's two weddings, back to back days. She's a bridesmaid in one and a bridesmaid. No. She's in the wedding in the first
bridesmaid,
one.
Bridesmaid, maid of
and,
honor.
And, oh, yeah. And a bridesmaid in the second one.
Yep, yep. All right. So.
Back to back.
Commitment
so it's a,
requirements.
I believe it's a Saturday and a Sunday or a Friday and a Saturday.
Yep.
So she wanted to leave or stay until 1 a.m. for the one wedding and then
1 a.m.
drive 2 hours to the next one in the morning and wake up at 6 to get her makeup done. And I was like,
that's super people pleasing. Holy. You were going to do that to yourself just for them? Were they worth it?
I was like, babe, we got to make it. I know this is a tough decision, but that's not going to work. You may think it's going to work, but either we're having too much to drink the night before and you're not getting up at 6 a.m.
You're not thinking.
I'll drive. That's fine. Yeah, yeah. I'll drive.
Oh,
no
so
problem.
You were along for the ride.
Yes.
Ooh. So not only was her yes committing her, it was also committing you.
So I was like, we need to figure this out.
Yeah.
We're either cutting that one short and driving down, but we gotta figure this out because we're not partying all night with this group.
So, right.
And then driving 2 hours
and then doing it again.
And then waking up at 6 a.m. So, for you to be at, like.
So what happened?
So we're still working it out a little bit.
Wait, this is current?
Yeah. But that was the initial
so
one.
So let me ask you this. Did she bring the conversation to you?
No.
Okay. So you brought up that there's a problem brewing. Okay. Smart.
Yeah.
Because nice guys would have said, yeah, babe, I got you. Yeah, babe, I got you. And I know some of you guys are listening right now, and it's always the nice guys. Yeah. I got you. And it's like, no. There is an order of importance that has to be executed, and you should be doing this. This is why nice guys always finish last, because they say yes to freaking everything.
And I had to explain to her, too, the first wedding is with her college friend that's getting married that she went to college with.
Yep.
And the one the next day is her best friend that she's known since elementary school. So it's like,
oh, yeah.
You tell me.
So, come on.
You tell me who's in.
Men.
You tell me who's more important.
Yes.
Then you make that decision.
But here's the thing.
I just laid it out for her.
But watch this. So this is a thing that I think that happens very, very commonly in marriages. She's making an emotional decision.
Correct.
You're making a, what would you call that? I don't even know. You're making a decisive decision. You're saying, you know what? Okay, listen, because this is a no-brainer for us guys. Guys, you're listening, you know. Guys, who are you dropping? Called chick, she's out. Bye, see you later. Because the best friend gets the best fruit. Oh, yeah. There we go. And this is where we need, nice guys, you need to learn this, okay? Your first fruits need to go to your firsts. Your first fruits need to go to your firsts. This was the lesson I learned years ago that changed my life. It was the lesson where you say, hey, in order of importance, this person gets my firsts. It's the same thing biblically when God says, bring me your first fruits. So if I'm always bringing God my leftovers, what's he giving me? What's left over? Because that's all I'm bringing. But God said, bring me your first fruits. And I know that talks about tithing and this and that, but that's not just that. It's talking about bring me your best. Bring me the, because I'll tell you this. So we started gardening here at, I'm going to start nicknaming this like the Lawrence Ranch.
I think the Lawrence Ranch.
Like, it's a little small for a ranch, but we'll get there. I'm working on it. But we started, we have a huge garden. We started growing all kinds of things. I'll tell you what, the first tomatoes that came were the biggest. The first cucumbers that came, the biggest. So what that principle of bring your first fruits is bring us your best. And yes, men, if you're saying yes to everybody else, you're giving your first fruits to people who aren't first in line.
Yep.
Dang, that hurts, dude. I did that for so many years, bro. It was brutal.
Brutal. Yeah, I'm still learning. Still learning.
Brutal. And you know what I do now? And I remember it was a little while ago. I was talking to somebody and they're like, well, am I not important? I said, no, you're important. You're just not number one, bro. Like, take a ticket. Get in line.
Yeah. Family.
Yeah.
Family number one.
If you serve everybody else and you try to come home and serve your family, you're serving them your leftovers, and they're not going to want to eat.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Dude, it makes me sick to my stomach. I feel so self-convicted because that happened for so many years.
Yeah, I'm so guilty of that. Yeah. Well, give everybody at work my best, everything, and then come and then home, I'm exhausted. And you're
like, here's...
I'm here, here's physically, mentally.
Mentally, I'm...
I'm gone.
I'm gone. And you're... and you're just... And it, you know, I'll be totally transparent with you guys, is... For years, so I've been a pastor for a long time now, like 15 plus years. And being a pastor is super demanding because everybody takes and not everybody gives. It's unproportional. Like, it's dangerously unproportional. And if you're not careful, if you're not careful, you will give your precious, your best, your first fruits, and you will give them to people who, everybody matters. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a ticket system. And my wife and my kids deserve number one, number two, number three. I'm sorry. Actually, I should repeat that. Because the only reason I married my wife, was I told her, I said, you're number two. And she goes, what? I said, yeah, you're number two, just so you know. You will never be number one in my life. And she says, what? I said, yeah. I said, God is number one.
Yeah.
And she goes, oh, that's great, because I never want to be on that pedestal. I said, well, this is going to work out perfectly, because both of us are in alignment.
Yeah.
So we say yes to God first. Then when it comes to first fruits, that's got to go to my marriage. Then that's got to go to my kids.
Yeah.
And then that goes to close friends, not acquaintances, friends. Yeah. And then outside of that, if I happen... to have anything left, I'll give you what I got.
Sure.
But if I'm giving my first fruits as a yes man, I'm give you the best. I'm giving you, like, I'm not Oprah. Like, I'm give you the best. I'm gonna give you the best. Like, no. I have to give men, yes men, you gotta give your best to your best, the people who matter the most to you. And listen, this is the thing about stop being nice. When somebody comes to you and says, hey, can you do this for me? If you can't do it, say no.
Or hold on, let me think about it.
No, don't even say that, because no, that's just delaying a yes.
Okay, sure.
No, I've been there. The yes man. When you say, let me think about it, you'll delay it, and you'll try to complete your other yeses to squeeze that yes in.
Move the puzzle around.
Oh, yeah, I know it, because I've done it. No, there is something liberating about saying no. No, I can't do that. And you know what's crazy? This is a crazy thing, right? When you say no to people, more often than not, they don't care.
Yeah.
They're not mad. They're not upset. They could give two shanks.
Because at the end of the day, it's their problem to figure out.
Right. It's not yours. It's not yours. It's not mine. It's not his. It's not hers. It's theirs. And if you can't participate, then you say no, and you don't participate. Oh, but if I always say no, then nobody will ever ask. No, people will never, ever stop asking you for help, I promise. It's always coming. Always coming. But when you say no, you're establishing clear boundaries, and you're saying, hey, I can't do that for you. Like, I had somebody ask me for... for a personal favor a mm-hmm. little bit ago. It was about a couple weeks ago. And they said, hey, can you do this for me? And this, and they basically, they didn't say what it would require, but what they were asking, I was able to deduct. Oh, you're not just requiring a one-time yes. Mm. You're requiring a yes that is kind of constituting a prolonged period of me being involved in this process. And I was like, I can't do that for you.
Yeah.
I would be a terrible person to ask of that because I'm not able to do that for you. Yeah. I do not have that.
That's what I was going to ask you too, is what, you know, someone comes up to you.
You weren't that person. it wasn't you. I was going to ask you, was that me? No. It wasn't. What were you going to say?
I forget now.
really?
Oh, I was going to say, if someone comes up to you and is like, hey, can I help you? And then, or can you help me? And then you go, no. Mm-hmm. And they go, oh, but I was depending on you.
Ooh. Oh, come on. Go down that a little bit more. Do you see what that is?
It's manipulation.
Manipulation, but it's also, it's manipulation on your end too, though. Because now I'm responsible.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the savior.
Yeah.
Men, this is a dangerous trap, and especially for yes men that we fall into.
Mm-hmm.
We're the savior. We're the fixer.
Yeah.
We're the solver.
Oh, you were depending on me?
All right, I can.
Right. I can do it.
Yeah.
And sometimes...
It goes back to the ego thing.
Yes. Yeah. I wonder if yes men are yes men because they have an ego that they have to feed. And in all reality, the one that we should be going and running to 24/7
mm-hmm.
is our creator, God, who can be the yes man. Because he has the strength. We don't have all that strength.
Yeah.
We don't. Ours runs up quick. How fast?
That one hurt. That one hurt.
Dude, I'm jumping in my seat. That hurt so bad, bro. That was a gut punch. How y'all feeling? Y'all feeling okay? That hurt. Everybody okay? Everybody alive? I wonder if it's just because we're desperately trying to feed our ego.
Fill a void. Fill something.
Mm.
Yeah.
Because if I'm not... Oh, dude. Is that...
That's
bro,
cool.
I love there's like 900 Harleys that drive by my house every day. No, I wonder... Please don't get sidetracked. Help me. So I wonder if our desperation to say yes... is directly hinged on our desire to fill our ego because we become the savior, the problem solver. Because if we weren't needed, oh, this is going to hurt so bad. It's going to hurt so bad. If we weren't needed, then the only thing that we would have is who around us wants us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's people pleasing is what it is. I think that's why we care so much as men. I notice it too when I start, like I used to be that way a lot. I'm getting better at saying no and all that, but once I deleted social media, I noticed
so good.
I use Facebook for DM Army and
yeah.
occasional reels. I'll still look at those.
A couple of poppies. I gotcha.
But I noticed that I didn't really care as much. I was like, God, I'm starting really not to care what as much about what people think about me.
Bro, we were never, ever meant to be connected to that many people.
Mm-hmm.
Never. I got like almost like 3,000 friends on my Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I would hang out with like 14 of them. No, some of them, listen, I'm about to get mass unfriended because they're like, you're a jerk. You don't even like me. No, listen, like there's a ton of acquaintances, but there's very, very, very few friends, you know? And I want to go back to what we said earlier, that whole, when we serve people, they need us, right?
Mm-hmm.
They become, what was the word you used?
Dependable or
dependent.
Yeah,
you said they're dependent on you. So who's dependent on us, men? Your family, your wife, your kids. Do you know, men, that you're also dependent on yourself? Are you serving yourself? And I know a lot of people argue right now, oh, that's selfish. Nah, pretty sure God gave you gifts, talents, and things to give and do. Mm-hmm. And if you don't at times serve yourself, you'll have nothing left to give. Again, first fruits, all that stuff. But I want to say this. So this is, I think, one of man's struggles is we like to be needed, but really, I want to be wanted. Hmm. I want to be wanted. Bro, I have a laundry list of people that need things from me. But I can tell you that I could probably count on two hands the amount of people that want me. And that's different. Mm-hmm. Like when someone needs something from you, generally, that doesn't really mean all that much. I just need something from you. I need you to come in here and do this, and now I'm happy. That does nothing necessarily for you and them or anything. You're fulfilling the need, feeding the ego, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But let's just break it down to marriages. Men, do you want your wife to need you or want you? I enjoy when my wife needs me, but I love when my wife wants me. There's a difference.
Yeah.
You catch me?
Yep.
There's a difference. And I think that's where you can transition as the yes man is start looking around you for the people that want you regardless of production.
Mm-hmm.
Because most men are needed for production.
You could say that too.
Come on.
I always imagine myself in a work setting.
I'm going to have to take a nap after this.
it's
getting heavy.
And in the work setting, like there's men in your job, there's things that other men may need from you in that moment to fulfill the job, keep the day going, continue on with production and just keep the business moving. But at some point, someone may want, I guess I'm trying to connect a little bit, want your advice on how to handle something.
That's different. Way different.
That's different.
Way different.
That's more on a personal level and asking.
Because they're not asking for your yes.
Yeah.
They're asking for your involvement.
And your knowledge, and they respect you as a man.
Do you ever just kick your own butt?
Yeah.
And wonder how, thank you, Jesus. Like, Dad. Yeah, they're not asking for your yes to fulfill the need. Mm-hmm. They're asking for your involvement to fulfill the want. Oh, and that's so much more powerful.
Yeah, it really depends. Even if you're the man, like asking the question, like it really depends on how you phrase it. Because if you're stuck, I don't know. Let's just use an electrician as an example. You go to your other buddy and you say, "Hey." I need you to help fix this for me, and you bring it over, you know, come over, help me fix it.
Right.
Or you sit down and say, "Hey, I need to fix something. I don't know where to go. I know you're really smart in this area.
Yep.
Can you maybe walk me through it and like see how you would problem solve this?" I guess it depends from the person asking
that's
too.
Speaking out of a is yeah, sorry. There's some bugs out here.
Yeah.
That's speaking out of a want, though. It's not speaking out of a need. And listen, there are some people that are going to approach you, and they're always going to approach you from the need. Because there are some people that just live in need.
Yeah.
Now, here's what I want to say to that. It's not wrong to serve those in need. If you can. It is wrong, and I must say this hardcore, it is wrong to serve people in need that aren't in priority. You get that?
Yep.
So if they're not in the pecking order, it is the right thing to do to not be nice and say, "I cannot fulfill that for you," because literally, I cannot fulfill that for you. If I commit to that, I'm telling the people that matter most, they don't matter anymore. Oh, dude, that hurts my neck. I just broke my back.
That's good.
Ooh.
That's good. Well, man.
I think we got to close on that and let the guys recuperate because that was a little bit hefty, but super insightful.
Yeah, it's important for you, for your growth as a man and knowing yourself. It really helps you discover who you are once you start saying no to some things.
Seriously.
It gives you confidence. It gives you it gives you more self-satisfying worth than saying yes most of the time.
Well, and you get to pick and choose whom you serve based on priority instead of I serve everybody until I have nothing left. And that's, I mean, there was no commandment in the heavens to be nice.
Mm-hmm.
None. No, it's not the 11th commandment like Vodi Bogum would say. It's not the 11th, oh, thou shalt be nice. No. If you be nice to everybody, but then you bring your leftovers back to your family, you're a jerk. You're feeding your ego out there. Then you're coming back and you're giving us the scraps. Unacceptable. So if you're a yes man and you struggle with this, man, I challenge you, get on the DM Army on Facebook. Get in there. Let's have a conversation. Let's continue the conversation. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about how being a yes man really is detrimental to your existence because you have to say no to certain things so that you can say yes to the best things. Amen to that?
Amen.
All right, let me pray us out and we'll close out. God, thank you, Jesus, for what you are doing here. I thank you, God, for the ability to speak into people's lives, the ability to continuously learn from you. And so, Father, I pray that, God, you continue to teach us to be men of honor, men of value, men of respect, men of character. And that, God, for those of us who struggle with the yes, teach us to say no, just like you did, God, just like you have always done, because we ask for many, 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 many things, and you do not say yes to every one of the things we ask you for. And so, Father, help us to learn from you, from your heart, mm-hmm. from your character, from your being, to learn that not everything gets a yes. It's not healthy. And help us, Lord, to be men who are decisive, who are precise, who pick and choose priorities. And God, help us to be men who say, you know what? I'm going to say yes to the godly always so that I can continue to do what is needed of me as a man to be the man that you have designed me to be. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We'll see y'all next week. What's up, Dangerous Man Podcast? Thank you so much for tuning in, listening to the show. Listen, men, I have a call to action for you. If you would take a few moments or minutes of your time just today, text a link to the show to a friend of yours that you know needs to be listening, that he might be a dangerous man, or maybe he's in pursuit of being one. So we could ask, guys, text that out, share it out. If you would, if you haven't clicked subscribe on the podcast app that you listen to, whether it's Apple, Spotify, or Google, or whatever app that you do use, man, click subscribe so you get notifications on new episodes so that we can let you know what's on the good. I want to give a couple of shout-out celebrations to the Dangerous Man Army, which is all of y'all listening. Let's celebrate that we are now in 398 different cities across the globe, and we are covering 30 different countries across this world. And so, man, that's a huge celebration. When we grow together, men, we grow stronger. And when we grow better, men, we grow together. Amen to that. Come on. Thank you so much for listening to the Dangerous Man Podcast.